Call your attention tonight to 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 16. These things I write to you, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the 16th verse of this third chapter, the verse that I just read, we have a tremendous affirmation of faith which many commentators believe to be an ancient hymn of the early church. In it, if you would, the people sang their creed, and it has a wonderful message for today and for all time. Notice a little bit of what it says. First it says, God was manifest in the flesh. What is God like? What's God like? This is the heart cry of mankind through all ages. How can I know God? What is God like? And then in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. God revealed Himself in human flesh. As John had it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. God revealed Himself in the flesh of His Son, Jesus. And now we can say with assurance that God is like Jesus. What is God like? He's like Jesus. Jesus said, the person that's seen Me has seen the Father also. We need no longer to wonder what God is like. We read the gospel record. We see Jesus, His love, His care, His concern. And we see that's what God is like. He that has seen Me has seen the Father. In Jesus, you see the heart and mind and the action of God in a form that you can understand. The great unknowable has become known. The Father has stepped out of the shadows into the bright light of the noonday sun, and we beheld His glory. God was manifest in the flesh. And then He said He was justified by or in the Spirit. That Jesus was God's Son was vindicated by the Holy Spirit. You remember after He was baptized by John in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended upon Him in the form of a dove, and the voice spoke, saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In all of His life, Jesus was surrendered to and kept by the Holy Spirit and lived a sinless life. Pilate said, "I find no fault in Him." A man that was used to judging people and discerning what they had done wrong, "I find no fault in Him." The centurion in charge of the crucifixion cried out as Jesus died, "Surely this was the Son of God." One of the thieves who was crucified with Him said, "He's done nothing wrong." All the Scriptures bear witness that although Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, He was without sin. Only a life lived in the Spirit could be a sinless life. He was justified by His life in the Spirit. Also, Jesus' claims were vindicated by the power and the action of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwelt in Him, and we see this in the works He did. He gave sight to the blind. He caused the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. Lepers were cleansed. The sick of all kinds of illnesses were healed, and the dead were raised to new life. Some physically, many spiritually. "Believe Me," He said, "for the very work's sake. Believe Me for the work's sake. Believe Me because of all that I've done." The acts he performed in the power of the Spirit were his justification. Even his enemies said, no man spoke like this man. And surely, no one ever worked like him. He was also justified by the Spirit in his transfiguration. When Moses was there representing the law and Elijah was there representing the prophets, the Holy Spirit spoke and the disciples heard the voice saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear you him. Finally, he was justified by the Spirit in his resurrection. Taken by men and crucified as a criminal on a cross, Jesus, through the power of the Spirit, was raised again and demonstrated the falsehood of the charges against him. As Paul has it in Romans 1:4, he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in or by the Spirit, and seen by angels. Before Jesus came to earth, always with the Father, he was seen and worshipped by the angels. While on earth he was seen by the angels, the heavenly chorus proclaimed his birth and the angels told the shepherds where they might find him. After his temptation in the wilderness, being exhausted body and mind and soul, the angels came and ministered to him. And the angels were watching there in Gethsemane as the people came to arrest him. They were anxious and ready to come to his defense. He said he could have prayed to his Father and God would have sent more than 10,000 angels to his defense. They were waiting for his call. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he went out to die for you and me. And it was an angel who came that first day of the week and rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb where he'd been buried and sat upon it. I always liked that picture. Oh, they had sealed the tomb and nobody could get in, but the angel came and made it his stool to sit upon. The angels were there. When the women came to the tomb, they said, he's not here. He's risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached unto the Gentiles. This is a great part of the mystery which has been hidden in God, which is now revealed. Here you and I have hope. Now we know that Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jews and are by faith to be admitted into the kingdom of God. Up until Jesus came, the Jewish society was an exclusive one. You were born into it or you were outside and there was no hope for you. But Jesus opened the door for us all. Through Jesus, God has granted unto us repentance unto life, and we may have redemption in His blood, forgiveness of sin, and life eternal. Jesus is not the exclusive possession of any one race or country. He is the Savior of the whole world. He was preached to the Gentiles. And then He said He was believed on in the world. You know, this is a miraculous truth stated in utter simplicity. After Jesus had left this earth, the number of his followers was no more than 120. All they had to offer the world was a story of a Galilean carpenter crucified on a hilltop in Palestine as a criminal and the astounding claim that he had risen again. The preaching of the crucified and risen Christ was a stumbling block to the Jews who could not conceive of the Messiah in this way, and foolishness to the Greeks. They preached Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Greeks. And yet as they preached of one crucified as a malefactor and whose kingdom was not of this world and whose teaching was totally opposed to mankind's sinfulness, wherever he was preached, he was believed on in the world. He was believed on as the only Savior of sinners and the Judge of the world. And within 70 years after Easter Day, he had been preached and believed on to the ends of the known world at that time. Here's the wonder of the divine expansion of the church. Well, he was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world. And one more effort, he was received up into glory. Received up into glory. You come outside of Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives and hear Jesus as he gives his last charge to the disciples. He said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." And while they beheld, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight, and he received into glory. The story of Jesus begins and ends in heaven. He lived as a servant. He was branded as a criminal. He was crucified on a cross. He rose from the grave with a nail print still in his hands. But the end is glory. He's gone now. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And he says he'll come again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Praise be to God. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This is our faith. And in a little while, he will come again and take us home, and we shall be forever with the Lord. Are you ready for him to come? Time's short, you know. It's an old story. An old woman sat one day beside her apple stand in a great thoroughfare of a city. A well-known judge walked up and stopped for an apple. "Well, Molly," he said, "don't you get tired of sitting here these cold, dismal days?" "It's only a little while, sir," she said. And the hot, dusty days?" "It's only a little while, sir." "And the rainy, drizzly days, and your sick, rheumatic days?" "It's only a little while, sir." "And what then, Molly?" "Then, sir," she said, "I shall enter into the rest which remains for the people of God, and troublesomeness on the way there don't pester me. For I've only a little while." "But," said the judge, "what makes you so sure, Molly?" "How can I help being sure," she said, "since Christ is away and I'm his. Now I only feel him along the way. I shall see him in a little while, sir." "Ah," said the judge, "you've got more than the law ever taught me." "Yes, sir, because I went to the gospel." "Well," said he, as he took his apple and began to walk off, "I must look into these things. It's only a little while," said Molly, as he walked away. Remember, God has revealed himself in Jesus. And we have only a little while, only a little while, to accept him as Savior and live for him. For time and eternity. Only a little while. Only a little while if we truly love him. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would love you more and more every day. And with whatever little time we have in this world, we would seek to serve you and to make a difference for you. Oh, help us each one and every one to examine our hearts and soul to see if we're truly and fully and completely yours and living in this little while for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name.